This is Phil Farron, and I am driving around. We have stuff at church tonight, so I'm just going to be driving from here to the church, which is about, here is Walmart, because I ran in to get a little food, because Wednesday is fast day, and then I don't eat till later on Thursday, and so I gotta get some food because we're going home, and some poor person is walking in with her pajama bottoms on, and it is cold out there. So, you know, hey, be free. Anyways, all is well. This is probably gonna be short because I have to get some food. And the thing starts at 6:30 tonight, and it's already 5:30. And I was hoping to get a little writing done before the thing, because the thing is going to be long tonight, but I don't know that I will, but that's okay. Anyways, all is well. It is chilly today. We've had a whole raft of really beautiful days for end of January, beginning of February. And then the temperature just started dropping. So I don't know exactly what it is now, but it's chilly, and it's going to get chillier. Oh, man, I am glad I do not live up north. Anyways, so work is good, all is good, things are pattering along, all is well, writing is fine, I'm on track. I'd be surprised if I get my words in this evening, but that's only 500. It's only 500 words on a Thursday, and so should be okay. Get caught up tomorrow on those things. Do have a good, fun weekend because I'm having breakfast, and then I was going to go on a lunch walk on Friday, but we may just hunker down and talk somewhere as opposed to going for a walk because it's supposed to be like 20 degrees outside. And then have a breakfast with an old friend. I haven't been together with him in a long time. So going to get caught up there a little bit. And so all is well. All is well. All is well. Anyways, this week I was thinking about moving on to something else. But then I came across this article. And it kind of fits with stuff that we've been talking about. It's just fascinating to watch this progression in our country. I think I mentioned at one point already that in looking at how everything is going in our country, I think it's really important to recognize that any religious belief, any kind of religious fervor, is going to lead to certain inevitable conclusions. At some point, you're going to have inquisitions. At some point, you're going to have witch hunts. At some point, you're going to have crusades. When you get really hopped up on religious fervor, that's what happens. And the reason that it happens is that as soon as the flesh can dig in and start pushing you in a certain direction, as soon as you become convinced there is us and they, and that they are the enemy, and they need to be defeated, and they need to be punished because they are evil. As soon as you get into that kind of mindset, it is only a matter of time before the witch hunts begin. And it's been really interesting to watch all this stuff. I mean, you know, people who thought that they were safe, that they were good liberals, that, you know, they were going to be respected and stuff. Boy, all it takes is one example in your background, and it's over. It is over. The long knives come out. You know, so I was noticing all the stuff that's going on in Virginia. I think it's Virginia. But then, in addition to that, I was noticing that, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, you know, the the blowing up of the whole thing with the Covington Catholic school kids, and then the subsequent, and I'm actually at church here, so I'm going to turn off the car, the subsequent videos that come out, and then all of a sudden it kind of changes how things look. But in the last couple of days, I've been noticing that there are people who just don't want to let this go. I mean, it was such, to them, it was such a perfect example of the smirking white man antagonizing and belittling the noble Native American. I mean, it was just such a perfect example of that, that they really don't want to let that go. And so they're coming up with all sorts of things of why they don't have to let that go. Because, I mean, I was reading one article and this African-American commentator was taking Savannah Guthrie to task because she allowed this young teenage boy to get away with saying that, you know, he had every right to stand where he was standing at the Lincoln Memorial, and that they were just standing there. They weren't doing anything. And how dare he express his privilege like that? And why didn't she press in and help him to understand that that was his privilege, that he could stand there? Because there were other people who didn't have the privilege of standing, like Trayvon Martin, and, you know, they got shot down just for standing somewhere. Okay, all right. That's a little bit of a stretch, and there's all kinds of factors that go into that, you know. So, but there's that. I mean, just furious at the media. I was reading another article by a woman who, the title of the article was, "Yes, You Can Believe Your Eyes." And she was talking about how all of us looked at this picture, and we knew immediately what it was. And then the media has to come out, and she was just taking the national media, she was taking them to task because they were all apologizing for what they had written and how terrible it was for them to apologize, because it doesn't matter what all the stuff comes out later. We know what we saw, and that's what, you know, because there's no recognition. There's no recognition that maybe there's something within me that is seeking to find evil where everywhere I look. Maybe there's something I should examine and step back from, because there's no awareness that we have this malevolence within us. This malevolence that seeks to destroy us and seeks to distort our perceptions. And that if left unchecked, it will destroy us. So it's kind of in the backdrop of all that. And then also hearing Jordan Peterson talk about how that the left has no boundary line. Of when have you gone too far? That the right has pretty much decided, well, it's fascism and anti-Semitism and white supremacy and that kind of stuff, that it's like, yeah, we're not with you. You're too far. But the left has had no boundary line up to this point. And it's interesting because I came across this article just last night. I came across it and I thought, oh, well, okay, so maybe we'll do this real quick and then I got to get inside. So the name of this article was, "This is How the Left Destroys Itself." It's by Connor, Connor Friedersdorf. And the subtitle is, "It's Ridiculous to Claim that the Covington Catholic Schoolboys are a Symbol of What Ails America." He starts off his article saying, "Boys from a Catholic high school in Kentucky are hanging out near the Lincoln Memorial doing pep rally cheers to drown out slurs and homophobic taunts from the black Hebrew Israelites when an American Indian man unexpectedly arrives on the scene beating a drum as he interposes himself between the groups. It's the sort of conflict that virtually never happens. So many observers felt that it was a symbol of all that is wrong with America. Quote, The clip focused on one red-hatted boy staring directly at the man with the drum. Katie Herzog wrote in The Stranger. His stupid, smirking face seemed to symbolize everything that's wrong with America right now. Like many, she considered her initial reaction. She reconsidered her initial reaction when additional video of the encounters offers context that casts the boys in a better light. You know, so newspapers, they did follow-up stories, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the author goes on to say, for the sake of argument, however, imagine that there were a way to prove what the kid was thinking, and it turned out his inner monologue was, ha ha, I'll disrespect this man approaching me by refusing to move out of his way and smiling in an irritatingly smug, conceited, and silly way. What would that satisfy? He says, I have no pithy answer, but I do know that this would not follow. Quote, and this is a quote from somebody else. People are responding so strongly to these videos because they are so emblematic of the violence that indigenous people have suffered over 500 years in the United States. We have been raped, relocated, trafficked, segregated, degraded, demoralized, and massacred by the U.S. government and a culture of media, economy, education, and religion that has dehumanized indigenous people for the entire history of this stolen country. Presently, this country continues to poison indigenous people by defiling our water and pumping drugs and alcohols into indigenous communities, regulating native bodies through tribal numbers and blood quantum laws, and force assimilation culturally, spiritually. These are the tactics of genocide. End quote. And the author goes on to say, how strange to treat a smirking teenager's face, something known to every parent and every school child teacher in the world, as an emblem of tactics of genocide. As though the root of ethnic cleansing were adolescent insolence. Or, quote, what was happening was clear and unmistakable, not just resonant, but immediately recognizable as iconic, Laura Wagner wrote at Deadspin. Quote, if you wanted to compress the history of American relationships between the powerful and the powerless in America, or the dynamics of the current moment into a single image, you couldn't do much better than to present a white team in a MAGA hat surrounded by a screaming horde of his peers smirking into the face of an old Native American man. And so the author goes, end quote. The author goes on to say, if I were compressing, quote, the history of relations between the powerful and the powerless in America into a single image, I'd represent the powerful with someone who was old enough to vote, not a scrawny high school kid. My horde would look like the Confederate Army, not a pep rally. Treating a smirking teenager as a stand-in for the wanton slaughter of indigenous people, the brutal abomination of chattel slavery, the persecution of anti-war activists, the racial terrorism of the Ku Klux Klan, the exclusion of Chinese immigrants, or the internment of Japanese American utterly trivializes bygone atrocities. Did these commentators swallow the trendy notion that microaggressions are, quote, violence, and apply it backward in history? He says if he did it, he'd see photos of children forcibly separated from their parents, or mass shooting victims at a synagogue, or white supremacists beating counter-protesters, or lobbyists facilitating rent-seeking, I don't know what that is, homeowners blocking the constructions of apartments, or segregated schools, or signs of climate change. If you think the better choice is a photo of a smirking, white, 70-year-old, I suspect that Donald Trump's re-election team would thrill at letting you define the 2020 election. And I say that as someone who hates both the MAGA caps and the vicious campaign that popularized them. Rebecca Traster wrote, it's the easily extracted concern for these grinning boys amidst the deportations and family separations and the harassment and assaults and low wages that's finally going to do me in, unquote. And he concludes this by saying, many who are sympathetic to the Blue Collar Coalition's concerns are baffled that a large faction within it seems to spend so much energy on culture war pylons, even opining that children are punchable or irredeemable or deserving of doxing. It is a bizarre focus on these boys as what ails America rather than on many powerful people doing identifiable harm or on any of the things that might end family separations, avert assault, increase wages, reduce poverty, reform police, increase access to medical care, okay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and I think he's right. I mean, when you see these young teenagers, you know, being vilified, basically because they wore a MAGA hat, you know, being vilified, and especially when you see the larger context, you know, you just look at it and say, wow, I think you've gone too far. I think you really have gone too far. But many on the left don't seem to think that at this point. So maybe it will go farther. And many don't seem to recognize that what they are spewing is just this hatred and destruction. And, you know, it's a free country. You get to do whatever you want. But the problem is that when you give that much vent to the flesh, it's just going to take you right into whatever destruction it can get. I mean, it's just going to, it's going to descend into violence. It's going to descend into self-harm. I mean, it's just going to eat itself. Because when you have that type of rage, boy, if anybody steps out of line in any way, there is no mercy, there is no grace, there's just attack. And that's what we're seeing. And so you end up with governors who in 1980, 39 years ago, did something stupid, and they acknowledged that it was stupid, but that doesn't matter. 39 years ago, you should have been as woke as we are and as righteous as we are, you know? Yeah. We call this a witch hunt. That's what we call this. Inquisition time. I'm just really grateful that I'm just a little small and I'm in my corner. I can still say the things that I want to say. Oh, without worrying about goodness. I mean, but ultimately the real sadness here, the deep sadness is the people who are caught in this are just going to destroy themselves. I mean, if nothing else, all that anger and all that angst and all that accusation just keeps your stress hormones elevated all the time. And that is not good physically. Because that, your body is not built for that. You know, gratitude is amazing, not only because what it does for the spirit and for the mind, gratitude is amazing for what it does for the body. And kindness and gentleness, all those wonderful fruits of the spirit, they actually produce an existence, I think, that's healthier. And so, you know, you can set yourself up as judge and jury and executioner and all those kind of things if you want, and maybe you'll get a chance to slay something, things that you think are giants. But if that process keeps you churned up emotionally, it's not going to end well. I don't know. It's fascinating. We'll see. President Trump's State of the Union was fascinating. We'll see. He had some good things to report, but Democrats didn't want to stand and applaud for him. So the only thing they stood and applauded for was themselves. Okay. All right. Let's see how that works out. So it's a fascinating life. And it's getting more fascinating all the time. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it to the church. I'm going inside, grabbing something to eat. We're doing stuff at church. Have a great week. Bye.